Thank you for staying with us. Time to talk careers. And we're welcoming back Adrian Chu, the career expert. He's been away in Australia. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jason. Lovely to be back. It was 2 weeks away from the radio. So
yeah, you're in Victoria. You're having a great time. But now you're going to inspire us with a really tasty topic. 5 ways to stay in a job when they want to fire you. And this can be in a situation where you just have to hang in there for your family. There may not be anything else out there. We've all been in situations like that. So you're giving us 5 tips to try and preserve your job when others are getting fired.
Yeah, because right now, nobody's job is guaranteed anymore. Mm. So they're always at risk of being retrenched or new bosses coming in, politics in play in the office. So yeah, and you know what? It's the job market isn't the best right now. Mm. So whatever happens, you still need to hang on to your job as much as you can, right?
Yeah, I guess you need to assess why they're trying to fire you. Is it politics? Is it retrenchment? Is it something else that's affecting things? So look at the reason first up, I guess.
Yes, correct. So if it's politics and somebody up there or somebody down there or somebody wants to get you fired, so one of the first things you need to find out is who it is and, you know, how what's the reason. So one thing I would recommend is to go up to the person. If you find out that this person is trying to engineer your exit, have a conversation with this guy or this person. So I had a client once who After his boss left and a new boss came in, and a new boss tried to get him fired. And the reason was because the new boss thought that he was loyal to the old boss and didn't want him around and was not going to perform and was out to sabotage. So what he did was he met up with the new boss and said, look, I just want to work. And I'm not, I mean, everyone else in the team may be political, but I'm not. I just want to work, you know, set targets for me.
That's the point number one. If politics, try to diffuse it, speak to the agitator and explain and clarify. But that's always the concern, isn't it, Adrian? When a new boss comes in, it's like a new manager in a football team.
Oh, yeah.
He gets rid of some of the old players that played for the old manager.
Yeah, out with the old, in with the new, right?
Exactly.
So it's just terrible.
Yeah, okay, point number two. If that doesn't work, speaking about politics and the new boss, then try to refer to a higher power, your sponsor, mentor, human resources, or even MOM, if you feel it's unjustified or discriminatory.
Yeah. So if the person who's trying to engineer your exit, if he or she is not reasonable, and if you find that it's discriminatory, then yeah, escalate it to a higher power. Because one of my other clients, he was the only Singaporean in his IT team, and the boss wanted him out. And what he felt was that this discriminatory.
Yeah,
right?
He's the only Singaporean, the only local. He should be given more privilege rather than a foreigner, surely, right?
So he was fine to be with him because he left the team. But this new boss that came in wanted to engineer him out. So he filed a complaint. He got evidence and everything. He filed a complaint with the HR. Mm. In fact, not even the local HR, with the global HR.
Right.
Yeah, and he locked it in with the MOM anyway, even though he didn't know whether or not anything's going to come out of it.
Yeah.
But he locked the incident in. And Global HR came in and defused the whole situation.
Wow, is that right? So he was able to keep his job?
Yeah, and they actually let that manager go.
Wow. So it's Adrian Chu, the career strategist, giving us 5 ways to stay in a job when they want to fire you. Yeah, always refer to MOM if you've got any questions about things, because quite often, you know, they're a higher power than a company. And if someone's not paying you your CPF or something isn't quite right, MOM or the CPF board can definitely clarify things, right?
Yeah. In fact, one thing I love about the MOM is that these guys, they are really pro-worker, pro-Singaporean especially. So if you have any incidences or anything, they're really ready to stand up and take the case.
Mm, that's great. Good to hear that. So point number three, if it's due to impending retrenchment, then start activating your internal network to see which divisions aren't downsizing and try to get a transfer over there.
Yeah, so if your job's at risk because of an impending retrenchment exercise, go figure out which other divisions internally maybe you can get a transfer to. You know, start networking internally, talk to your ex-bosses. And if you have a godfather or a sponsor in the company, you know, talk to them and see whether they can pull strings to get you into the other departments that are relatively safer.
Mm. Yeah, but I got a good story about that. I've got friends who were in the sales division of a company that I worked for, and we were a smaller division within a bigger company. And look, the writing was on the wall. Things weren't looking too good within the sales division. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is, you know, advertising sales. And one of my colleagues, very smartly, a lady probably around late 30s, she transferred into the bigger sales division. Mm. And sure enough, the smaller office that I used to work in was actually taken over by an outside external sales division. So those positions were being eliminated, and she made the move a few months before, actually, the takeover.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it always helps, doesn't it, to try and read the writing on the wall and see which is healthier, right?
Yeah, correct. So that requires a certain degree of career agility, of being able to see what's coming up, who do I move. So you have to move out of your complacency or comfort zone and start saying, okay, what if? And therefore, this is what I should be doing now if that happens.
Okay. Yeah. So point number four. So start preparing your exit plan. Engage your own career coach. Don't wait for one to be assigned. So you're saying, really following on what you just mentioned there, be proactive about the next steps.
Yeah, correct. So a lot of times, retrenchment exercises, you can get a feeling that it's going to happen within six, eight, 12 months even. Mm-hmm. And some companies, they you can see that they even give you the timeline.
Yes.
So, and a lot of companies provide career coaches for them, their staff who are being retrenched, after they get retrenched. So, but why wait 6 months, 12 months? In fact, sometimes I always believe if you get a coach when you have been retrenched, that's a bit too late.
Yeah.
So invest in your own private career coach. Get someone right up the moment you sense something is wrong. Engage somebody, talk to the person and see what are my options. How do I reinvent myself? How do I engineer my own exit?
Mm-hmm.
So don't go cheap. It's a good investment.
Yeah, I think your gut always tells you where things are at. You know, I was at a company a few years ago and I noticed that they were doing new business and they weren't including me in the discussions about the business. You know, so I'm thinking, hey, I could really contribute something here, but I'm not being included in these meetings. You know, it was a trip to another Southeast Asian country. And I thought, hey, there's something's going on. And then I started to make plans, you know, for my exit. But you have to really keep your eyes open. Sometimes it's not very pleasant, but you have to be very much realistic about things.
Yeah. In fact, interestingly, a large number of my private clients now, they are not facing retrenchment. They're actually doing very well in their jobs.
Mm.
But just engage me as a coach to help them along with their career in case something like that happened.
I see.
Yeah, so it's almost like an insurance policy.
Yeah.
So together we sit down and we work with them on the next moves, the what ifs, and how to accelerate their career. So it's a good investment. Mm. And I see a lot of people are starting that right now. Rather than waiting to get career coaching after they get the pink slip, that's a bit too late.
Yeah, and it's affordable. It's not that expensive, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And it's spa treatments and everything and handbags. I'm not going to go there, but you know, it's those aren't cheap either.
Yeah, better to engage a career coach when you still got the income, regular income, because you're you know, things are looking a lot brighter from the financial point of view when you're actually still in a job, right?
Yeah, correct. In fact, Jack Ma correctly pointed out that, you know, the best time to fix your roof is when it's not raining, right? So that's a good strategy to go with.
I like that. Okay, point number five: start networking externally, ex-bosses, colleagues, recruiters, etc. Focus on getting job leads in preparation for the exit. And again, this is connected to what you said about having a career coach, that you are taking that next step and trying to let people know that you could be looking soon.
Yeah, that's right. So 80% of jobs nowadays are landed via networking.
Mm.
So applying 80%. For jobs. 80%. It's crazy because right now the power of networking, it used to be 6 degrees of separation. Mm. Someone told me that recently in Singapore it's as little as 2.4 degrees of separation.
Wow.
So a lot of the great openings are sourced via networking.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not networking, you're not getting the access to these leads. So in fact, the logic is this. If 80% of the jobs are coming through networking and only 20% of the jobs are coming through job ads,
yeah,
why are you spending 80% of the time on job ads and 20% of the time on networking? You should be the other way around.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people spend more time on job ads because it's easy to just click the apply here button.
Yeah, exactly. I always tell my wife, she says, why are you going for coffee with this guy? And I'm saying, well, you know, it could lead to something. And she says, is there an immediate job? I said, no. But I'm making that first step to try and plant seeds and build the relationship. Yeah. I think rarely, Adrian, I've had a career of 40 years, as you know, a long time. I've been working since the late 70s. So that's putting things into perspective. I don't think I've ever got a job through conventional means. And I work in media, which is different, of course. You know, I don't think I've ever got a job through a job ad. Never. And I think very, very rarely through an HR department. Isn't it incredible?
It is. In fact, same for me as well. I never quite applied for a job. But my reputation, I think it's important to curate your branding and reputation in the market.
Mm.
So ultimately, people know who you are and when they have a need for it, they engage you.
Yes, exactly. You know, I really think that I don't know, it's just me, but I think networking is so, so important, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Twitter, whether it's, you know, networking sessions where you meet fellow professionals.
Yeah.
These are where we get jobs, not very often through ads.
Yeah, correct.
I'm willing to be proven wrong, but...
No, even if it's not getting any jobs out of it, you know, it's still fun. It's still nice.
Yeah.
And in fact, even when you do a networking session and you meet people, I often derive more joy helping people rather than getting them do favors for me.
Mm.
So a lot of times I'm just paying it forward and it's something I love doing.
Yeah. Look, that's the thing. It's about the process, not the end result, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And for someone like you who's very active on all the social media, you know, you get, I'm sure you get a lot of requests and everything. And it's just nice to know that, you know, you're able to help people.
Exactly. I don't mind getting, you know, emails from people on LinkedIn and all that. Apart from financial advisors, I get a lot of financial advisor emails. If you're listening out there, if you're a financial advisor, I'm sorted. I don't need your help. Thank you, though. All right, let's sum up those five ways to stay in a job when they want to fire you from Adrian Chu, the career strategist. First one, politics. Try diffusing it. Speak to the agitator and try and explain why. Number two, if that doesn't work, then try referring to a higher power. That could be MOM, HR, your mentor, your sponsor. Point number three, if it's due to an impending retrenchment, try and look at other divisions within your company that may need help. Point number four, start preparing your exit plan. Engage your own career coach before you get fired, not after, because you still got an income and you can plan ahead. And point number five, start networking externally. Let ex-bosses, colleagues, and recruiters know that you could be looking for a job very soon. Adrian, we're going to get some war stories and my 5 points shortly, but your last comment on this?
Well, if you're being exited, if you're being pressured to exit due to politics, and if you really don't want to fight anymore, and if you really had enough up to here, I know we've all been familiar in that really familiar zone before, and exit is a possible option for you to do. But don't exit without getting anything in return. I know people who've had so much changes in the management, in the organization, and they said, I had enough. And they're trying to exit him. And this client of mine, what he did was, he told them, okay, I can be exited, but give me a package.
Mm-hmm.
So let's separate amicably. And we will part ways as friends. But make sure that friendship pays a little bit on my way out.
Okay. All right. We're going to have more from Adrian Chu in a minute right here on Money FM 89.3.